What's up, y'all? Here's a quick recap of last week.
Most of the church is so anti-science, as if somehow the purpose of science is to disprove God.
Yeah. So interesting to live in this age where we have so much technology to understand our bodies and understand our brain. To me, it's like, if I had a heart issue, would I go to a cardiologist? Somebody who studied the heart, knows how the heart works, knows how to fix the heart. Yes. Would I do things to still help my heart in other ways, including prayer? Sure. How does the brain work to put these thoughts together? And after understanding how that works, what can we do to reverse engineer it to put in the thoughts that are what we want to be about who God says we are?
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to part two. I'm so happy you're here. Let's dive in where we left off.
There is a three-step, and I hate even using the word three-step, but it's a three-step method that
okay.
I often use in helping people navigate tough emotions and tough issues. It's called ADD, ironically, but
okay.
It's A, being acknowledged, D, being discern, and the third D or the second D being decide. So it's important to first acknowledge that you're feeling like this, that you've got all this stuff going on, that that person hurt you. And to be honest, what's interesting is I find that people skip this step. And when, or if they are in that step, they're what you're describing, where they're just so angry and blocked and blah, you know, like they're just, they can't even see anything.
Right.
But a lot of the good Christian people, they will, that I tend to work with, they're like, well, I know I'm supposed to believe this and I'm supposed to act like this. So they haven't even felt that yet.
Yeah.
They haven't even gone there because they haven't allowed themselves, as again, a quote, good Christian, to feel the emotion that's there. And I say, and again, the brain science says, you've got to be able to know what that is. You've got to feel it. You've got to know why it makes sense, acknowledge it, and know that the God of the universe is also the God of compassion, who sits with you in that and feels it with you. Now, we don't want to stay stuck there either, right? Because like you said, that's not going to get us to be. So we have to balance that with that second step, which is discern. What is true here? What is true? Like you were saying, it's true that this person hurt me, but it's also true that God says, well, the measure that you judge people is going to be the measure that you are judged. I don't know if I want that in my life. So am I using a fair weight in how I'm looking at this? Am I looking at this from this black and white perspective? Am I really thinking about, well, what is God's perspective on this? What is the truth here in this? Okay. Balancing that with the emotion and then taking both of them together to that place of decide to go, what am I going to do about this? Because I don't want to stay stuck and just spinning in all the emotions. I know that just trying to slam truth down my face and not feeling the emotions isn't the answer either, but there is a harmony in between that I can get to. And that's the place where God's like, I'm going to give you the courage to step into that next step, which means maybe forgiving, letting go, taking an active step forward in another way, but it's that next step.
Right.
And so that process is, I think it's both sides, but we don't want to live in the victim world, but we also don't want to berate ourselves with so much quote truth that we're not able to feel both sides and really get healing.
Yeah. I mean, that's important. I find when I describe what I think, when I practice it in real life, most people feel upset. And I think I have to take responsibility for this. I don't like the first stage of like victimhood.
No.
And
who
it's,
does?
It's because
right?
I'm like, yes, I want to be mad too. I want to freaking punch those people in the face. But I care about you so much that it's like, I want you to win. And the longer you stay in stage one, the longer that other person is winning. Because without knowing it, you have subjected yourself to them.
Yeah.
They are living their life. The situation has gone so long ago, and you are at the altar of that situation or that person.
So true.
And you don't see it because 99% of the time you are justified. Somebody did hurt you. I can't make you think that didn't happen.
Right.
But I can get you to understand, hey man, how many people have you hurt?
Yeah. Yes. Right.
Who have you hurt?
Right.
That is out there feeling the same way you're feeling. And you probably don't even know that you hurt them.
Right.
Unless exactly. you're telling me you think you ain't hurt nobody. You ain't ever done nothing malicious to no one. That's not the case.
No.
But if there was somebody out there feeling this pain towards you,
right.
would you want them to pick up the phone and say, hey, you probably didn't mean it, but this is how I feel. You'd mm-hmm. want that. You would want them to extend some kind of like grace towards you. So right, because sure. you're not trying to hurt people.
Right.
And so you, in the same way, you should probably extend that to someone else because you don't know what they're going through. Now, do I think that there's just jackasses out there? 100%. I think there's sure. people out there that are sharks. I think there's people out there that are just, I mean, they have a trail of people that they've hurt.
Yeah.
But I think most of us have not been able to develop mindsets
right.
that create healing, that, you know, that create positive ways of dealing yeah. with negative situations. I think most people yeah. are stuck in their own pain and it yeah. just, you're just a byproduct. You're too close and it spills onto you. And if you could see it like that and not take it personal.
Right.
I feel like you'll get so much farther because now you create empathy. Now you create this desire to be like, man, what happened to this person that they're so intent on hurting me or hurting everyone really? Cause it's right. probably not just me that they're hurting. They're exactly. probably hurting a lot of people.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. And I just, as you were talking, I was thinking about how it seems, my perception is that it seems like the younger generation, like the younger segment of our society, is more stuck in that step one of the emotions. And the older are more stuck in, well, this is the truth, and I'm not even going to feel the emotions. And I'm wondering if that's because there's just been this, well, just because, again, like I'm thinking teens, 20s, like they've grown up with social media. They've seen so much emotion, expressing emotion so much. Like they're much more comfortable with that. Mm. Where again, the older generation is like, we didn't talk about that. And we're just going to stick to that truth, forcing that truth. What do you think?
I think we have prioritized emotions.
Yeah.
On the younger generation.
Yeah.
We've told them your feelings matter than what's real.
Right.
They
right.
matter more.
Right.
So if you feel somebody has offended you, if you feel that they have whatever, that's what's true.
Exactly.
The yeah. old school was like, bruh, I'll get offended when you punch me in my face. Yeah. Then, you know, like
it's really clear that you've offended me.
Very clear. There's no like, there was no verbiage to try to be like, I feel offended. I don't feel like I have a safe space. There was no such thing as that term. Now, I'm not sure if that was, I'm sure the better part of it is somewhere in the middle. You know,
exactly.
I think,
right.
I
right.
think we do a disservice in teaching people that your feelings matter more than the truth.
Right.
I don't want you to ignore your feelings.
Right.
But when they become where you act from.
Yes.
Then right. now you're moving in your truth that probably won't be there in a month when you're over it. So yeah. making decisions out of that truth that yeah. you feel, I think is going to lead you in a wrong direction in the long term. Which is, again, yeah. something that I get mad heat for. So whenever I'm talking to my wife or her best friend or any, you know, because I coach mainly women, yeah. They're feelers and yes. they respond from feelings.
Right.
And I have to break it down like, hey, man, you do understand that you're hearing with your feelings.
Mm.
It's not what people are saying. You're just interpreting it through your emotions, which I can't change you because this is who you are, but yeah. you have to take a moment and be like, okay, let me break down what's real,
yeah.
what I think is real, and right. then speak truth to what actually is happening in this yeah. moment. You know, my wife right. always had this problem. She would hear her dad whenever I would talk to her or whenever I say,
right.
give me an explanation. When did I do that thing that you're saying that I did? Whenever I would ask her a simple question, she would hear attack, attack, attack,
yeah.
prove yourself, because she always had to prove herself to her dad and her family.
Makes sense.
And I'm genuinely asking, hey man, when was the last time that I did that? Like Let me know, because I can apologize. I won't do it again. And we can move forward. She just heard something differently.
Right.
If you don't admit that there may be parts of you that prioritize the feeling over, and again, I think these are all mindsets, right? These are all things that we've created. I've heard it said, habits, when done long enough, becomes characteristics. Like, they start off as decisions you make, but if you make them long enough, then the neurotransmitters now make them, they become part of your character, and now it's your personality. Now you're not even trying to be negative. Now you are negative Nancy, and you don't even know it.
Right.
Because you made the choice to be negative so many times that now it's just who you are.
Right. There's this aspect of brain science called neuroplasticity, which is this idea that our brain is always being shaped by the thoughts that we have and the interactions we're experiencing. So if the brain completely runs on repetition, and especially the subconscious mind, it's just going to do what we have trained it to do, which is how we get stuck in these patterns, for right or wrong. It's not making a moralistic decision from that part of the brain. It's just saying, okay, when I go here, I do this. This is, it's great when we're trying to learn how to create a new habit, like ride a bike or learn a new language. It's amazingly helpful. But if we are not paying attention with our logical part of our mind to go, is that really what I want the pattern to be? Then it's going to, it can very easily develop. And before we know it, we have changed those patterns, those structures in our brain, that when we come to this trigger, this is how we react. And that's what's happening often in these situations, is we've created these patterns of, this is what I need to do to feel loved. This is what I need to do to feel worthy. This is what I need to do to feel enough. This is things that I've, without even realizing it, how I need to show up. And that's running the show. That's going to trump that logical mind every time. And so, yeah, when you're talking about emotions, I hear you. I think we cannot let our emotions be that final guide. I think of emotions as check engine lights in our in our brain. Like, it's like, that's interesting. What's going on? Like, what do I need? I need to figure out, why am I so frustrated by that person or by this situation? What is that about? You know, just digging into that, being quiet, being still, asking God for wisdom on what that is, could be about. And letting him help us use those emotions for a positive way, versus this is how I feel and that's the truth.
Do you, here's a question. Together, here's a question. Do you, when you do that, when you see the check engine light, is your first thought, if you had to be honest, what's wrong with them or what's wrong with me?
Well, it depends on the situation. I mean, of course, sometimes it's, yeah.
I'm always, what's wrong with me?
Oh, really?
Yes, 100%. Only because...
Think about that. I think me too. I think you're right. I think I would say, what's wrong with me? Because I have always... I have that propensity to be a people pleaser.
Right.
And so I'm always like, well, if there is an issue, then it must be me who did something wrong. So let me check there first. I think you're right. I think I would go that route first.
I check me first, because 9 times out of 10, it's me. And I can admit it. I tell my wife all the time, 9 times out of 10, when I'm angry with you, is because I'm angry that you're not me. And that's so egotistical.
Yeah.
I get mad because you don't think the way I do. You don't drive the way I do. You don't do this the way I do. And I think the way I do things is the best. Like, this is what I'm subconsciously thinking.
Yeah.
And I notice every time we are, I'm frustrated at her, it's because of that. It's because think I know more.
Right.
And if somebody else does something to me, it's because I think, and I know that I'll be like, you know what? Let me internalize this real quick. They're not doing this to me. They're doing this because of something that's happening in them. I just don't know it yet.
Exactly.
So take responsibility. Maybe I did something, whatever, but... Don't try to figure them out.
Offended by that other person. So like,
we got an agreement. Los Enchiladas. She says she agrees. Thank you, Los Enchiladas. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Amen. That.
I was just going to say, I just finished putting together a presentation for an online conference, and it was the topic that I was speaking on was, what do we do with these toxic thoughts about our husbands? So it was for a conference for women. And I was sharing how I am married to a guy who is, I'm trying to use the three words that I described him as. When I first met him and we first were dating and we first married, it was like, he's so kind and he's so quiet and he's so just introspective. And those were things to me that it communicated just this consistency and this steadiness and things that I really needed. Mm-hmm. And then the longer we've been married, the more I have, my perspective on it is like, he's closed down. He doesn't want to talk to me. He's always in a rut. Like, and the point was, who changed? It wasn't him.
Right.
It was me. I had changed. My perspective of him had changed because I was feeling like I need you to show up in this way for me. And now again, is he perfect? Does he, we need to talk about things? Of course. But I'm just saying, it's kind of like what you're talking about. Like, the issue isn't necessarily sometimes the other person. The issue is how we're interpreting what they're doing through our own filters and our own insecurities and our own issues. And that was a big part of it for me. It was like, no girl, you got some stuff to work through. He's not trying to hurt you. Right. He's not trying to be closed off. That stuff that, you know, was baggage from before on your parents and all this other stuff, like, has nothing to do with that.
See, so, and that's revelatory. I think if we start with us first in every situation, even, even with, okay, you got cheated on.
Yeah.
I get it. That's one of those things where it's like, whatever. But the first question should not be, why did he cheat? Because that's a, or why did she cheat? That's a question you will never get an answer to. You're never, because you are now trying to decipher what's happening in somebody else's psyche. You're not going to unpack that. They haven't even unpacked it.
Right.
The real question is, why did I choose someone who probably showed these characteristics? They showed some kind of characteristics of unfaithfulness somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, if you remove emotion from it, if you remove whatever. Now, granted, there are some psychopaths that will literally play the perfect role. I know one. My friend went through one. She was engaged. And when I say psychopath, he didn't show one mistake until the very end. And that's then you found out he had a whole nother life. But that's a sociopath. That's different.
Right. They're
on another level. But most people, when they look back in the relationships that failed, they're able to see the red flags. And they're able to be like, damn it, I made an excuse there. I thought I could love him through this or her through this. I thought. So if you start with yourself first, it's like, what in me allows me to bring someone into my life that I transiently settle for? Because most of the times when I talk to women, like, and I try to coach them, and for me, the biggest thing is, you know, sex, right? So I love this positive feminist power. I love it. I love you owning yourself. I think it's beautiful to own your sexuality. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's important. But a caveat of that is the freedom of sexuality.
Yeah.
And it's so prominent in our culture right now that I always have to remind women, like, most of the time, it's like, hey man, you don't really compartmentalize like men do. We're able to just kind of like, dun, and we can keep it moving.
Right.
You guys feel things.
Yeah.
So you going out, and doing your thing is not the same. It's not the same.
Very true. Yeah.
But if you can't understand the value of that, if you can't understand that of what that really is, then post whatever happens after that, you gotta be willing to take responsibility.
Yeah.
You just have to. It doesn't matter how bad he dogged you out. It doesn't matter how bad he treated you. It's like you made a jump. You did a long jump on date one when you should have been doing like a slow marathon, a slow walk so that you can really understand who it is that you're with. You know? But it all starts with self. It's just hard to then put it on you when you've been hurt. It doesn't feel good because it feels like you're pouring salt in your own wound. It's like, I'm hurt. Let me pour salt. Yeah. But I kind of feel like that's the only way you're gonna truly heal.
Well, and like you're saying, like, it doesn't matter at the end of the day almost what someone else did or didn't do to you and their motivations, because at the end of the day, they can choose to say sorry or not.
Right.
You still have to deal with the ramifications of what's left. So how are you going to interpret it? What are you going to do about it? How are you going to move forward is kind of where the rubber meets the road. So we can feel sorry that somebody didn't do something or did do something, and that's valid.
Yes.
We don't want to minimize that.
Right.
At the same time, we have to come to a place where we're like, so what are you going to do about it?
Right.
How are you going to handle that? How are you going to move on? How are you going to not let it affect you moving forward? Because you still have this big calling you got for the world. Like, you still have stuff to do. You can't let this drag you down.
Oh my God, I get so mad. I get so mad when that happens. Yes. I get so mad when I see my amazing, beautiful female friends.
Right.
Stuck.
Right.
Like completely and utterly stuck. And I'm not saying men can't be stuck. I just, for whatever reason, I coach a lot of women. But they're stuck because some type of idea that they had didn't work out.
Right.
And then jadedness comes in and
then
your mindset is different, right? It becomes one of those things where now you expect the worst.
Now and it starts to prove itself to be true because again, you're saying, well, that's what's going to happen. And so you start to put yourself in a place where you're believing that. And then you find yourself in patterns where you're settling for another person who's just like, I mean, it's just this whole...
But so patternistic. It's so very much like traceable. Like if you say this or if you think this long enough, it becomes part of you.
That's what the science says.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just literally what the science says. And that's what the Bible says.
Yes.
Interestingly.
In a more, poetic or biblical way. Yes.
Yes. I mean, Jesus says in Matthew that the actions of the flesh, things that cause immorality, sexual thoughts that are impure, different things like that, those all come from thoughts. Those all start with thoughts. And so the science shows that we have a thought, an emotion is created around the thought. When the emotion and the thought combine, they create a belief. When that belief is reinforced enough times, we make decisions based on that belief. Mm-hmm. And then from the decisions come the actions, and the actions become the results. So we can trace, if we want to change that result, all the way back to what is the thought that we're having at that moment to fix it. We can't just try to willpower ourselves to make a different decision because it's being run by a thought that's all the way back there.
Yeah.
That's the root of it. That's the part that needs to change.
And what can you do about that thought? Like, I remember when I first got married, what would you have told me? Because when I first got married, I believed this... you know, three strands cannot be broken. You know, once I get married, I'm only going to see my wife. I'm not going to see anybody else. Bruh, when I got married, I noticed everybody else. I was like looking around like, was there always this many beautiful women around? Like, why did I notice Asians? I never dated an Asian. I never dated this kind of person. I love Indians now. Like, I was so like aware. And I started feeling caged my first year of marriage. I started feeling like, oh my God, I can't get out. I can't get out. Like, even though in my mind I was like, no, but I have somebody amazing.
Yeah.
Everything else was like, oh my, I felt the weight, the responsibility, the accountability, the can't go nowhere. And I remember feeling that my first year of marriage. So I feel like I was able to trace that back to.
Yeah.
The human side of me, like, bruh, you're not weird. This is, I believe marriage is way more a spiritual thing than anything else because it acts against our biology, especially men. Right. You know, they want to conquer, they want to spread, they want to go and get as much as they can. Humans are kind of like that. Enough is never enough.
Right.
So, I was able to recognize this is humanity. And then in my mind, I walked myself down the path of like, you've done this before. You've chased so many women. Mm. And the end of all of those chasings was always you sad, crying, empty, shame. So what do you think that the outcome would be different if now you know what I'm saying? So it was always very much, oh, I'm having these very human thoughts, but I know where they end. Nah, bro, I'm good. I'm gonna stick with this ride or die, you know? And I still sometimes have those thoughts, like, and I always laugh because I'll tell my wife, I tell her everything. I'll be like, hey, sometimes, you know, I'll just be out here thinking, man, I think it would be fun to be single. She goes, why? I was like, well, because I was broke when I was single before. Now I'm not.
Life now.
It's like I got nice cars, I got nice whatever. And then we laugh about it because I'm like, yeah, but I have all these nice things because you've given me the freedom. Mm. You've given me the ability to chase my best self and create wealth. You did. You single-handedly gave me the ability to come into my own. So everything I have or any type of amazingness that I'm creating, it goes right back to my wife because she gave me the space to do it. So then we laugh about it because I'm like, I'm going to be out there trying to flex on girls. Yeah, check this out. And then in my mind, I'm like, my wife did all of this for me. So then we laugh about it.
So interesting.
But that's like my process that I have in my head. So I'm curious, is that in a very crass, crude way, is that the process? Is that the go back to what the thought is?
It would be interesting to say, if to put yourself back into that place, to ask yourself what were you missing? Like, what was that thing that felt compromised, or what was the fear? Because it was almost like there was something that you were trying to protect yourself from. Like, were you missing? Was it a fear of missing out on something?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like, so I think that would be where I would start looking, have started looking at, is like, what is that about? Because that's that thing that's rising up in your mind. Like, oh, I have to protect this, or, oh, I'm being stifled. Or it's like, what is that fear about? Where is that coming from? Did I feel stifled in other ways? And how do I reconcile that? So I think that's kind of like what you were doing.
So I 100% felt caged. I felt like, damn it, I can't. Like, I need to roam free. I need to be out. But I have this real, I don't think it's bad. I think it's good. I speak real harsh truth to myself, which is probably why I come off very harsh when I speak truth to other people. I'm not good at that yet. I have to be a little bit more graceful in my presentation. But the way I talk to myself is, hey, man, you've been out there before. Like, you've tried to do you and it never worked. Mm. So maybe you doing you, or your thought of how you should do you, you should probably put that in the back burner because it's failed you like every time. So what makes you think that it's going to work out of nowhere? Nothing has changed.
Right. Yeah.
And so I don't mind like telling myself the honest truth, like, hey man, you can do the new you in this situation that you're in is much better because it's bringing out a better you. Right. So it allowed me to change the way I thought in that aspect. And now I just laugh at myself. I'm like, every day I'm with Ange, I'm like, gosh, best decision I ever made in my life.
Well, and what you just said about how everything you have is because of this relationship. I hear you saying the security, that foundation that you were afraid of, is what gave you what you wanted ultimately.
Yeah.
Like, that security gave you the freedom to step out and be bold and daring and experimental and do scary things in other ways. You know, you had this security to keep coming back to, and that's what got you where you wanted.
Yeah. 100%. And I'm beyond grateful that I even had the opportunity to do it. Like, my gratitude grows. I always think it's interesting when it comes to marriage, because the thing I thought would be what keeps it together is, you know, before you think it's the physical, it's the whatever. And it's like, cause you're just thinking carnal. You're thinking so base, animalistic. And now even sex doesn't mean sex to me. Sex to me, every time I have it or make love, I'm just building this amazing legacy. Like, it's not even sex. It's like, building block on the amazing house that's going to be left standing when me and my wife leave. Like, we're building this life. That imagery is just like, wow.
Exactly. Like,
how beautiful is that?
Mm, awesome. Love it.
That's how I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, cool. I love this conversation. I'm so glad you made time to speak with me.
That was so awesome. I love that we've gone everywhere from sex to like the church 1,000 years ago to like everything, science, stars, everything.
I'm so glad. And I'm, you know, I was so, before getting on, you know, I always do a deep dive on pages, I loved what I saw on your page. It felt like a very sincere desire to help people find God. And that was really dope to see that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I encourage you to keep doing your thing. I love it. I'm going to put your links to everything in the description so everybody can go follow you, check you out.
Thanks.
Awesome. And yeah, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for the conversation. I love it.
It was amazing. Guys, if you want to share this with your friends, please do. If you haven't liked and subscribed yet, please do that too. Even though I hate saying that crap because all the people that I follow do it. But for some reason, I guess you're supposed to say it. Please like the video. Please subscribe to the channel. Please send it to your friends. And we try to go live every Wednesday and Thursday. That's what I've been committing to. So join us here. And like I always say, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers. Yes.